The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Denver, the voice of the people. News Talk 710. Put some attitude between your ears with Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Morning, everybody. It's 8 a.m. straight up on a Wednesday, and Randy's got the afternoon, and tomorrow Stefan is returning to the show, and he'll be with us early tomorrow morning as well. 710 KNUS, the voice of the people, Denver's talk station. Interesting morning. 90 will be the high today, sunny and warmer. Hot and dry tomorrow and Friday. It's going to be sunny and 95 degrees. In and out of jam lines all morning, three topics. One is locally, and this is what the caller's talking about. So let me be kind to the caller and talking about Denver's, and this is just amazing, the $100 million fight against homelessness. And Vincent was talking, so before I reset, and we have a guest coming in about 20 after. So, Vincent, if you would, please pick it up there.
Hey, I just wanted to do a little comparison here. If you gave, let's say, $100,000 of taxpayer money to a lady who wanted to eradicate stray puppies, and you gave her a seedy motel, and you said, "Hey, lady, you run the seedy motel and you save the stray puppies," and we found out she was slowly poisoning them. the same liberals would be outraged at the waste of taxpayer money and the horrible things that the woman was doing to the poor stray puppies. But, you know, let's just switch it to human beings and heroin addiction and oxy addiction and alcoholism and mental illness. And just let's just compare the two.
Sure.
Because as your friend Bob would suggest, this is death on the installment plan. We know that.
Sure.
At a cost of $100 million for suitcases full of cash that are delivered to all my pals who are looking for a sweet gig called bureaucracy and administration.
You hit the home run. $100 million, okay. And because people join the show, this is the 5-point. It's laughable, but these people take it so seriously. It's called the 5-prong plan. For
goodness.
Number one, buying hotels and motels, turning them into, I love the term, supportive housing, adding more safe camping sites, like nobody's going to get shanked, expanding housing voucher
from the Bears. Yeah.
Safe camping. Expanding housing voucher programs, providing more rental assistance and eviction protection, and increasing the availability of housing. 100 mil. Is there one thing in all of these? The five-pronged attack that says, get sober.
No.
Does it say, get a job?
That would be cruel and offensive. Oh, yeah, no way.
How about get a job? How about get a gig?
Not in there.
No.
Not in there.
So it is amazing. And who do they go to for a quote? Here's the lovely Kathy Alderman of the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. There's a gig, right? The first thing that jumps out, the city of Denver is making investments in homelessness. How do you invest in homelessness?
Well, you have no money. You're a government. You tax people.
But how do you invest? I mean, it's great. Well, I don't have an answer. But it's great.
Right.
It's greater than 100.
It's not an investment.
No.
That's a loser.
That's right.
It's just like declaring Atticus Finch a white supremacist savior.
Yeah.
He's the worst savior on the planet. He lost the case. The guy got lynched by a mob.
Think about
it.
Yeah, horrible.
He's ready for the appeal. He's got to tell his client's wife that he's dead.
You know what? You're a smart guy. You're a very smart guy. That is the outcome of To Kill a Mockingbird, is that they have to go to his home and tell his wife that he was killed trying to escape. You're right. He was shot.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
the only
good
guy who saved anybody was Boo Radley.
And okay. the night when Boo Radley came out.
Yeah.
And
he's a terrible white supremacist, guy. Yeah, he never comes out.
Hey, Boo. Remember that great line? Hey, Boo.
Hey, Boo.
Yeah, they knew it was him. No, that's such a powerful book to now declare a white savior, a white male supremacist, Atticus Finch.
It's insane. It's insane. They're a torch mob. They can't be stopped.
No.
They won't stop.
You're brilliant.
It's insatiable. It's bloodlust.
You are the call of the morning. We've had some great calls, and you're the call of the morning. That's very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, you be safe. 303-696-1971. So let's go over, I guess, the inner circle, the inner ring would be the idiots in Denver, the 100 mil. The next ring is to get rid of To Kill a Mockingbird. And the white savior, the white supremacist is none other than, of course, Atticus Finch. And by the way, as the aside, as they go out the door, they're taking Of Mice and Men with them. Why? What does this mean? And I want to play that film cut. And Geronimo's got the con. Billy's on vacation. But it struck me. And it's, I don't know, it's just what I get wrapped up in other stuff. But Stalin, and I'm reading these, you know, these two Russian books, and they're both very lengthy. And I'm also reading this, the Decline and Fall of the British Empire, which, of course, this ties us into Afghanistan. But I'm watching this, and I come up with Joe Stalin's guy. I mean, I don't know. I have to go check with the smart people and think if this holds up or not. But you hit it, Joe Stalin. And Joseph Stalin had a KGB chief, Leventry, I think he pronounced it, Beria, who, remember, and everybody quotes, show me the man or show you the crime. In other words, Leventry could go find a guy, Joe would point, and Leventry would go and get the guy, and he was guilty of something. Or if he wasn't, we could make him guilty. And these people now, these insane, and they're allowed to exist, fine. But they're allowed and able to do what they want to do. Imagine Harper Lee depicting Atticus Finch as this guy who's a white supremacist. Anyhow, Leventry said, or alleged to have said, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. These people are doing that. Show me the fill in the blank, the library book, the play, the musical, the movie. Get down a line of things, the statue. And I'll show you the racist. It's just true. I'll show you the racist. Could you do this for us one more time? And this is one of the few times, I'm a little geek reader, that a movie stayed with the book. And it was To Kill a Mockingbird. And, of course, Gregory Peck was Atticus Finch.
To begin with, this case should never have come to trial. The state has not produced one iota of medical evidence that the crime Tom Robertson is charged with ever took place. It has relied instead upon the testimony of two witnesses whose evidence has not only been called into serious question on cross-examination, but has been flatly contradicted by the defendant. Now, there is circumstantial evidence to indicate that Mayella Ewell was beaten.
All right. It's a Wednesday morning, everyone. 90 will be the high. That book is now on its way out. You need a professional appraisal for all the valuables tucked away in your basement. You could be selling and sitting on a fortune in cash. Maybe you need some vacation money. David Ellison, Cherry Creek, pays top dollar for your diamonds, your gold, sterling silver, wedding bands, Rolex watches. Get instant cash on the spot. David's been buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. I've known him a long, long, long time. David offers confidential evaluations on estate sale jewelry, precious metals and coins, silver sets and antique items. There's no obligation. Free appraisals, private and confidential. If you're looking to buy a gift for somebody special, see David for the best in diamonds and jewelry. Visit his beautiful, newly remodeled, expanded showroom. Got the black awnings on the building. 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek North. 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek North, 6 days a week. David is there today, there tomorrow. DavidEllisJewelry.com on the web. DavidEllisJewelry.com. Call David, 303-322-8779. 303-322-8779. You will be glad that you did. The third thing that we're talking about this morning, and our guest will enter into this, Eric will be part of this, but looters are ransacking Bagram Air Base. The Americans all leave Bagram. And they hand it over. They don't even tell the Afghans, apparently, that they're going to go. And we're watching this, and it's happened so many times. This is Southeast Asia. This is Tanzanut Air Force Base at Saigon as the helicopters leave and landing on the aircraft carriers and getting thrown into the ocean, the South China Sea. What's the difference? The same people have done it again. And we just came through the 4th of July, and we're talking about, you know, the bravery of the men and women who, as they say, the last full measure of devotion to their country. And watching all of this stuff and watching all those years of Southeast Asia, now the insanity, the Bush-Cheney people, and the endless wars are called forever wars when people talk about empires. And in 2001, the Bush-Cheney people sent a military halfway around the world to go after al-Qaeda for the 9/11 attacks. Remember, they're all mostly Saudi Arabians, and that lawsuit's moving ahead in New York. And al-Qaeda and Osama had been given sanctuary by the Taliban in Kabul. And they said, we're not going to give him up. So the invasion begins. They've left. The people who actually did that were long gone. And Tora Bora and the al-Qaeda people. And then the mission changes. And we did not succeed. And U.S. troops are all gone. The 20th anniversary of 9/11. Taliban has ousted, and Taliban actually has never been closer to recapturing total powers. They are as we speak. So I was at a barbecue on Saturday, and there was a family there. They were Afghans, and the dad had been an interpreter, and the whispers that was said was he was murdered. And these people, many of them were GIs, and they got the family out. So what do we? How do we do this? And so the war lasted 18 years. The second American war of the century was invasion, occupation of Iraq. No weapons of mass destruction. There's no evidence of any of this. It was lies by Bush and Cheney. No WMDs were ever found. Most troops have come and gone. The Baghdad regime rules at the approval of the Shia militia, who look to the mullahs in Tehran for guidance and support. 7,000 U.S. young, brave, young men and women are dead, 40,000 wounded, emotional scars. Obama lights it up again. He orders airstrikes on Muammar Gaddafi. We talked about Syria and Bashar Assad. And it comes to this. It comes to this, leaving at night. And now, as a talk show host, aficionado, as I mentioned, what do I hear? We got to take on the Chinese. I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with you people? All we hear now, and the American Navy has to take on Beijing, and they have to take on East and South China Seas, and we have to take on the mullahs because they're going to get a nuke, and we have to challenge Putin and arm the Ukraine. And I'm thinking to myself, think hard, long and hard, about any more unnecessary, unwise, and unwinnable wars, because that's what this country has turned to. And that's the end of empire. That's when empires fail. I have no answers. I mean, so I'm looking at three things this morning. The sadness of all of it, the endless war coming to an end, at least this round of it. There'll be another. Watching these fools in charge in Denver, which is unbelievable. And then, of course, To Kill a Mockingbird, the white savior, Atticus Finch. You see, there really is an enormous tie-in. These fools are going to take it over. Summer's here, and you might be looking to expand your outdoor living space. Urban Lights is the place. All your lighting and ceiling fan needs, Urban Lights, the latest in LED lighting, all lit up on display with hundreds of smart Wi-Fi ceiling fans. Ceiling fans are the answer. Bluetooth compatible and sync with smart home devices. I got a ceiling fan. That's like the all-time thing. Turn it on at night. Best selections of any room, your home, outdoors, indoors, 20,000 square feet, stylized galleries. Make it easy to find your personal style. You'll be inspired to find new ideas for every room in your home. Local lighting experts can help you find the right size and lamp, all the types of lighting, interactive hands-on lab lights, light labs, experience. I took my grandson, we went in there in like February, and it's like, it really is the Coney Island of the mine. Ferlinghetti, you just look at the roof and the walls and everything are all lit up. Stop in their showroom today and call to schedule a free design appointment if you want to do that. Get 40% off all lighting, ceiling fans, home decors on the weekends. Put in your trust in local businesses. Easy returns, free local delivery, price matching. Dave Nestor's the guy, 7 days a week. Walk in. South of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi. UrbanLightsDenver.com, UrbanLightsDenver.com, UrbanLightsDenver.com. Tell them I sent you an extra 10% discount, the guaranteed low prices. Again, try and go to like 30,000 feet and look down on all three of these events. And, you know, we have a Republican Party, a young man sitting here. I really like Eric a lot. He's going to join us here in a second. And the Republican Party that has to redo itself, it has to get away from crazy. But watching these events take place, school boards where you send your kids and grandkids to school, you don't feel that they're safe. We've had people like Tay Anderson, who should be in disgrace, was allowed to disarm the schools. We have this insanity of what's taking place in downtown Denver, $100 million. They're not fighting homelessness. They are encouraging, underwriting homelessness. That's the Democrats. Who runs the city? The Democrats. How do you get about 35, 40% of the vote? You go to people and you say, I offer solutions. Watching the foreign policy decisions are just unbelievably horrible. And then the culture warriors. Atticus Finch has now been jacketed a white savior. It's unbelievable. And I don't know if people have ever, you know, sat down and actually read the book. Justifying white male supremacy. That's one of the raps on To Kill a Mockingbird. The white savior figure. I'm stumped. You know, I can't get around it. We've been talking about it for a long, long time. I can't tell you the way out. Why don't we break early, G, and come back and do this right? All right? 303-696-1971. Hold on, everyone. 90 will be the high today, 97 on Thursday.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Hugh Hewitt, Charlie Kirk, and Dennis Prager. Coming up after Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right. This is a great moment for me. 20 after the hour, 8:20. And I really like this young man. Eric Odlin is with us, and he's challenging Michael Bennett for this Colorado Senate seat. He's a Joseph Campbell guy, and he went to school where the Campbell Library is. Hang on your hats. This is just going to get good. 90 will be the high today. It's a Wednesday. Stefan is going to be back tomorrow. He'll be with us tomorrow morning. Randy's got the con. Danny Kaplis' law firms, and these guys are the best of the best. And thousands of innocent people are killed and injured every year in car, truck accidents, motorcycle accidents. And Danny's law firm, a long, successful track record in cases against the trucking industry and helping people who have been in bad accidents. The largest jury verdict in a truck accident case in Colorado in the last decade, $25 million jury verdict against an out-of-state trucking company. I think most people remember that horrible wreck. Danny's won numerous multi-million dollar out-of-court settlements for his clients in truck cases and cars, motorcycles. He's a good man. Danny's a decent man, serious firm for serious cases. He's a warrior. It takes righteous cases on percentage fee basis. So what's good people, all walks of life, can benefit from Dan's work. Call the firm, 303-907-5003. Hit DanKaplisLaw.com. It's C-A-P-L-I-S, DanKaplisLaw.com. Now you wait to tell me you're a Joseph Campbell guy. Good to see you, man.
Nice to see you.
No, his mic's not up. There you go, G. Bring him up. There he goes. Try it again.
Nice to see you, Pete. Glad to be here.
We had lunch together. You've done the radio show. And you never tell me about Joseph Campbell till this morning.
So I got a master's degree in depth psychology from a small university called Pacifica Graduate Institute.
His.
So
yeah.
Jungian psychology, Freudian psychology, and Joseph Campbell is a big part of that curriculum and that whole depth of work. So I love Joseph Campbell. I've studied him.
This is a whole reason to vote for this guy right now. He's on to Joseph Campbell. Who turned you on to Joseph Campbell?
Well, I mean, I would say my pursuit in trying to understand what is the fundamental issue with our society. Why can't we figure it out? Why can't we solve these problems? Why do we keep fighting and keep dividing? And Joseph Campbell was a champion of the individual.
Absolutely.
He wanted to empower the human spirit, not reduce it into some collective mass. He believed in ingenuity and creativity, and his big thing was myth.
Yes.
He was a student of mythology.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of lessons there. And you're talking about things like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
These seminal issues in our society, this history that we want to destroy. If we destroy our history, we're going to repeat it. We don't need to bubble wrap the world and make it safe for everybody and make it unoffensive. Mm. We need people to grow in wisdom by understanding the past so we don't repeat it. I don't think our empire has to decline. We don't have to lose this empire.
Nothing has to do anything, but the great line of people that study history, it doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes, or words to that effect. Of course it doesn't, but will it?
Well, no, I don't think so.
All right.
I think we're entering a new paradigm, and because of the information age, we have access to information. We can access history. We can learn from our mistakes.
Do we?
Well, we have to.
What would Joseph Campbell say?
Joseph Campbell would say that history does tend to have an archetypal basis. So I don't want to get too complex.
No, please do.
But I mean, he would say that there are movements throughout history and there are themes throughout history that do tend to repeat.
Absolutely.
But when have we seen a constitutional republic like ours in history?
But can we hold it? What did Dr. Franklin say in coming out of the building? What have you given us? And Dr. Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it.
A republic, if you can keep it.
Are we keeping the republic?
And we're on the precipice of losing it.
Thank you.
And it's time to be lions, not sheep. Wake up.
Thank you.
I mean,
and
we have an opportunity because we're in the information age for people to understand what's going on in a way that they couldn't in Rome. They couldn't in Greece.
But they could, but they did not.
Well, they may not have, but I don't think they had the access to history and access to information like we do now. But now's the time to seize that information, not destroy it.
I totally agree, but it's being destroyed.
It is being destroyed, and we need to recognize what's happening.
No, but that's the point of this.
But if you understand history, you can learn from those past mistakes. You can see what is happening, what the radical left agenda wants to do by destroying history and stop it. Take back the school boards. Keep Animal Farm in the schools.
They don't want it in the schools.
Well, parents need to rise up and take it back, protect their children.
Everything you say is true. There's nothing I would argue with.
And we have an opportunity to do that, as you said.
You were listening, and it's a really bright young guy. And when you move into a school and take out To Kill a Mockingbird, what do you think if Joseph Campbell were here? What do you think the purpose of removing Mockingbird is?
They want to destroy our history. They want to destroy the cultural record so that we don't understand how to be empowered as individuals. They don't want us to be critically minded thinkers. No. They want us to be dependent on government indoctrination, and they want to rewrite history. They don't want to just take it away. They want to rewrite it in their own image in a way that supports their own narrative. It's insidious.
These people showed up, and they were called the Jungian Marxist or the Freudian Marxist, who truly believed that we will create a new human. I mean, the Stalinists believed it, and they believed that we could create it would be generational, and that's the state and revolution. It's Lenin. I'll be in power. We'll be in power. But eventually a new man. They actually talk about new men emerging.
Yeah, but they want to reduce human beings to animals.
Absolutely.
They don't want you to be empowered. They don't want you to think for yourself.
But
they want you to be an animal on a farm that does what they're told.
But you'll be happy. You'll be well taken care of.
But unfortunately, psychology doesn't bear out. We've seen it in history with these socialist communist experiments that it doesn't work.
Did you ever read Herbert Marcuse?
I have not.
Okay. One-dimensional man, and he was a Marxist. He probably one-handed. He was a mentor to Angela Davis, and he kind of screwed up Brandeis University for a long, long time. And it's a far-left school, but when Marcuse shows up, and those guys, and they're products of the Frankfurt School, you know, they're very left of center, far left of center. They probably deny being Marxists, but they are. What is the difference between those people and the people that would spend $100 million on homelessness? I mean, I'm telling you, this is the stuff that's in your wheelhouse.
Well, they want to print money endlessly.
They want to take care of people.
And take care of people, but by taking care of people, it makes them dependent on the system.
There you go.
It does not teach them how to fish.
No.
It just teaches them to get fed and to be reliant upon a system that disempowers them.
So if someone says to me, do for me what I would not do for myself, take care of me.
Exactly.
And more than willing.
They're more than willing, and it's not about we have to unwind the system. We can't just it's going to take decades.
You're right.
But it's time to start unwinding it now.
Right. Let me read you. This is the $100 million, and they have the nerve to say to fight homelessness. This is a 5-pronged plan: buying hotels and motels, turning them into, I love the new term, supportive housing. Number 2, adding more safe camping sites. Number 3, expanding housing voucher programs. Number four, provide rental assistance, eviction protection, increasing the availability of housing.
Sounds like the projects of the 1980s. I mean, how did those work out?
How did any of this work out?
It doesn't work.
What is it saying here, Eric, about getting sober?
That's right. Well, and that addresses that a lot of our homeless are suffering from drug addiction, psychological issues.
Sure.
This doesn't treat those issues.
No.
It just encourages those to continue and to persist.
So what are we doing? What? This is $100 million. Remember, one day this man may be your colleague, John Hickenlooper, the man who said, I don't want to be senator and I would not be a good one, is now what? He's now senator.
He's now senator.
But this guy started this.
But where does the $100 million come from? And
get
how?
Get a mirror.
And does it keep? Do we keep printing money endlessly?
Of course.
To continue to allow people to subsist off the system, or do we stimulate the economy? Do we create more jobs? Do we create smart regulations that empower people and get them back to work? Because when people are working and they're doing something they love to do, they're happier people.
Yeah.
You know, it starts to solve a lot of the psychological issues that we're seeing right now.
Yesterday, I came in here at 5 a.m. And this was because I did some riding around on the weekend, and it's been ongoing with me. For instance, I knew Bob Cote, and I asked this on the air. We jammed up the lines. When's the last time you went downtown? Why don't you go downtown? You know, words to that effect. Nobody goes back downtown anymore. Do you think this $100 million plus is going to bring more people back downtown to go shopping or go to restaurants or do whatever?
No, it's not going to make it safer downtown. It's going to attract more homeless to Denver.
Yeah.
And I mean, I used to work downtown off 16th Street Mall. Yeah. It was a fun place to be. I used to love to go down there. I don't take my family down there anymore.
No.
It's unfortunate.
No. Yeah.
I mean, Denver used to be a clean city. It used to be a place where you felt safe.
Yeah.
Building projects in Denver does not encourage safety. And oh, by the way, they probably want to defund the police at the same time.
Same time.
So how does that work?
No. But they have willing participants. Everybody has, the person will go along to get along. It goes back to what we're talking about, Joseph Campbell and George Orwell and these guys who really saw it for what it was. They really did. I mean, Orwell, Joseph Campbell, it would have been an interesting dinner conversation to have the two of them sitting there.
Well, I mean, I think what's fascinating, if you really understand a human being and their psychology, when somebody is thriving, they don't have a tendency to hate other people. They don't have a tendency to want to fight other people. When a person loves themselves, they're not out creating disorder within society, right?
But a student of this is that there's a promise that's made. The Marxists make promises. The Leninists act them out. And they're telling you what they're going to do. And they're telling you. And that the folks who are saying, gee, we'll spend $100 million to fight homelessness, all we have to do is add more housing. You just keep
moving. Where does it stop?
It doesn't stop. That's just it. All I want to do, Eric, is just get rid of To Kill a Mockingbird. What do you want next? I'll let you know. You know, I get that.
These are by design meant to reduce our society to serfdom.
Yeah. Well,
this is the agenda that's taking place.
And how about you become a talk show host here? 303-696-1971. Eric Odlin's here. He's challenging Michael Bennett for his Colorado Senate seat. I've had lunch with him. He's a really cool young guy. I had no idea that you were a Joseph Campbell geek until you came in the door. Joseph Campbell answers every question anybody ever had. You know, if you get down a list of these people, and I suspect that Orwell has to go. I mean, Orwell's already been removed from libraries. And Orwell, who wrote about people removing things from libraries, is now being removed from libraries.
That's right. He predicted this future.
He said all of it.
And so we've had plenty of indications of what's coming. I think where the hope lies is that people are waking up to it on an unprecedented level. And we're ready to take back this state, and we're ready to take back this country.
I couldn't agree with you
more.
We've
got to unify, though. We need leadership. Yeah. We've got to come together as not just a Republican Party, but as American people.
Great. I mean, there's watching Park Hill and what the United Methodist Church is doing over there, and these people were principally, I'd imagine, 90-plus percent of them were Democrats. And they were once called limousine liberals by Tom Wolf. And the great, I've used this too many times, what is the definition of a conservative? It's a liberal that just got mugged. And so these people, I'm serious, so these people that were all like, hey, yeah, we got to build these homeless camps. And Brother Jeff, who I want you to meet. And Brother Jeff said, okay, it's okay to put it in Brother Jeff's neighborhood, but don't put it over there with YT, you know, and with his $1.9 million average house, and then have Muffy and Buffy step over feces and needles and crazy people. And now those people over there have... they've come to Jesus, and they will, oh, hold on here a minute.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a sign. I was listening to your show the other day about people in Denver building up their own fences to protect themselves from the homeless.
What an indicator.
That is an indicator.
What an indicator, Eric. And I got to tell you, you go find those guys, and you can put a coalition together, minority people, inner city people, working people. You and I had this conversation at lunch. Don't run against somebody. Offer solutions.
Well, and honestly, I don't view liberals or Democrats as the enemy.
No, you want them votes.
No. The fact is that I think that we are suffering from an establishment that has gone off the rails.
Oh, yeah.
A government that no longer serves the people, is not for the people, by the people.
I agree.
And I think most liberals, I have plenty of liberal friends, and they're well-intentioned. Yeah. They want what's best for their children, just like we do. However, their ways don't work, and I think they're often based in a sense of heart or feeling,
this stuff.
And they're not balanced.
Well,
the
100 mil, but just keep them away from me. That's the only really
well,
is.
Yeah,
I'll spend the money, but don't let them cross my
view. Well, that's
for God's sake.
That's your elite liberal.
No,
that's not all of them.
I
think that there are plenty of good Democrats and liberals who want what's best for this country.
They were the guys who voted for Ronald Reagan. We had that conversation at lunch.
Well, yeah, you're right. There hasn't been a unifier in many years since.
Well, there hasn't been a Republican in many years. I mean, why did Jared Polis win? Well, it's not that tough. You know, why did Walker Stapleton lose? Gee, I don't know. You know, it's not. I come back to when Cory Gardner and John Hickenlooper. Cory Gardner should have never lost that. Never lost that. But he did. And that's the point of it. Let me do this. Let me do a turnaround. Open up the phone lines. Tell this young man what you want to hear. I like him a lot. 303-696-1971. Jump into it. We'll also talk about, he's a West Point grad, and we'll talk about what's taking place right now as the United States military and the American presence leaves Afghanistan. Stack Optical, first of all, they're open. Masks are optional. If you've been vaccinated, you don't need to have an appointment unless it's an eye exam. My good friend Alan Stack, Stack Optical, been serving Denver since his dad started in 1968, focusing on providing the highest standards of customer service. I pulled my motorcycle out today. I rode Sunday, had a great ride. There's a good picture up on the web. All the guys. The on-site lab production beats the highest quality prescription sunglasses, sporting glasses, eyewear. All my glasses are from Stack, motorcycle glasses, prescription ski goggles, sunglasses, name it. Alan Stack has it. He's my guy. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, near South Monaco and Evans. Call him today and ask for the $69 eye exam. 303-321-1578. 303-321-1578. Online at stackoptical.com. 6 days a week, they're open. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. Park and walk in. He's the guy. Premium care, vision health. He's been the best. Visit them today. Tell them I sent you. Alan Stack, Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, stackoptical.com. What would you like to tell this young man that he needs to do become the next U.S. senator? What does Eric need? What questions would you have for him? It's important. 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. It's a Wednesday. 90 will be the high.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Text the studio directly on the 710 KNUS app. Get it free at the App Store or Google Play.
Bright young man in studio. Good morning. It's a Wednesday. 90 will be the high. And Stefan back tomorrow. Randy's covering this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Becker tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. 303-696-1971 is our number. What would you like to tell Eric Odlin about running for U.S. Senate, being a Republican, what needs to change, and how does the Republican Party win back Colorado? Aging doesn't have to be hard. I got a text message yesterday from Dr. McCallum. I'm going to go Friday. I usually go on Tuesdays, but It was a one-off day. Getting older, though I know this, can be the best, most rewarding time of your life because you care less. Dr. McCallum at Cenogenics has made a tremendous difference in my life and the testing and diagnostics to help uncover how a healthier you emerges. And the key to health isn't treating symptoms after symptom. It's finding out why the symptoms is good for in politics, too, why the symptoms are happening and what can be done to stop them. Quality of life is directly linked to your risk factors, and the Cenogenics program with Dr. McCallum dedicated to keeping those factors as low as possible by increasing your energy, your performance, overall well-being. The team at Cenogenics can help you get your metabolism and hormones balanced and healthy. Isn't it time to start enjoying that life? She's my friend. She's my doctor. Cenogenics changed my life. Call her. The number is 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, and get a free 20-minute phone call. Jackie answers the phone. They take it from there, okay, and they set it up for your time, working with your time. Jared's there, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. On the web, denver.cenogenics.com. The other thing that we were talking about, and you're a West Point graduate, your dad's a retired major general, and we were talking when we had lunch, we were talking about this story this morning and watching the American military leave Bagram at night. And did you fly into Bagram more than once?
Yeah, I mean, I served in Afghanistan from 2009 to 2010. I commanded a reconnaissance striker troop, so I was a captain. I had about 130 people. I was responsible for the second most strategic point in Afghanistan. I was over the border crossing point between Pakistan and Afghanistan at a place called Spin Boldak in Kandahar District. I have a lot of thoughts on Afghanistan. I'm happy.
Please,
to share
you just,
I
mean, what you're thinking?
I think it was a tragedy of foreign policy.
Oh, man. You're being kind.
Well, yeah. And you know, it's easy for politicians to send men and women to war if they've never experienced it themselves, and in most cases, you know, our politicians don't understand the cost of war. There are a lot of agendas at play, but there was a point in Afghanistan as a commander that I asked my commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel, the squadron or battalion commander, what are we trying to accomplish here? And he could not tell me.
Yeah, you told me the story.
And so here I am commanding troops, putting them in harm's way, asking them, sending them to death at times. And if I can't tell them why we're here, that's a very difficult position to be in. And as a nation, we need to be very careful before we enter conflicts without understanding how we're going to achieve our objectives. And if we don't know what those objectives are, we shouldn't do it in the first place.
The old rap became, if you can't stand on the PT platform in less than two sentences, tell these young men and women what they're going to do. Don't go.
That's right.
Two sentences.
And we never had a strategy to never win in Afghanistan.
But it was. I don't want to start.
We could go on and on.
I love what you say. Put them on. Here we go. We'll go to the phones. 710 KNUS Denver's talk station. This young man's name is Eric Odlin. We go to Dave. Dave, you're on the radio show. Good morning, Dave. Peter to Dave. Dave to Earth. All right. Dave ain't here, man. Dave there? 303-696-1971 with apologies. 12 before the hour. That is, you touched on all three things this morning that seemed to drive the show. The Kill a Mockingbird, what happens in Denver, and then the leaving at night. And it's just all been done before.
It's been done before. History repeating itself. We did this in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan was a longer war. Thankfully, the cost in terms of life was much less than the Vietnam conflict.
Yeah,
but there's a psychological toll that's going to last generations. And that has an impact in society, and that is a real cost. That's not nothing. Mm-hmm. What we're doing to our troops, we need to be smart about how we use them. I believe in peace through strength, but we have to be extremely judicious with our use of force. Mm-hmm. I was in Iraq as a young man, as a second lieutenant. Mm-hmm. I was a senior at West Point when 9/11 happened. And over the course of that decade of service after I graduated and was commissioned as an Army officer, my view on war changed dramatically when I saw the cost, not just the cost to our troops, but the cost to the civilian lives. I came to a place of compassion for Iraqis and Afghans.
Sure. Of course.
You know, I came to understand them as human beings, just like you and me, who mostly want the same things. They want a roof over their head. They want to be able to feed their family. They want a job. And they want to be left alone. Left alone.
Left alone.
99% of people, I believe, are like that.
I agree.
I think there's a fringe element in every society that tends to ruin things.
Every time.
Every time. And we've got to find a way to deal with that 1% that's on the radical fringe.
And you were looking through the glass, and I said, now these people say, well, we got to stop the Chinese, or now we got to get the mullahs. And I'm thinking to myself, my God.
Well, I mean, war is the most lucrative business there is.
Well, yes, it is.
That's why we've got to get smart women and men and women in office and get rid of these corrupt politicians who would use our men and women without discretion.
And again and again and again and again. It's repetitive. And that's why where we opened in the hour was the repetitiveness of history. And now we're here watching the repetitiveness of history.
I mean, I think Reagan set a great example with how he dealt with the Soviet Union.
Yes, he did.
We should deal with China the same way.
And he did it in Lebanon. He did it. He's our guy.
And we can beat them economically. And maybe it's not about that. But if we energize and focus on America and the strength of America and taking care of our own people, we set an example for the rest of the world. And we don't, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Washington talked about foreign entanglements.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are detrimental to this country. And a politician's duty is to serve the American people.
I wonder. I truly do. Reagan, we talk about, you and I are both huge Reagan fans. George Washington's farewell address and Eisenhower's. Those two, adhere to them. Stay the hell out of this and watch these characters and you'll be okay. Remember this young man, spells his last name A-A-D-L-A-N-D, pronounced Adland, and he's challenging Michael Bennett. I think you're, at least in my ears, you say the right things. And if people are willing to hear, there is a chance. What do you do next? And we got about 3 minutes, I think, 2 or 3 minutes, if that. What's next?
What's next for the campaign? I mean, what this is about inspiring others to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to set an example. I took an oath as an Army officer to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. I didn't take an oath to serve a particular man or party. I am serving my country. We need others to do that. We need people to stand up right now. There's no time to waste. No. We need to fix the Republican Party, but we need to unite as an American people like we've done during other crises. We're in a crisis now of unparalleled proportion.
Oh,
I think we're
agreed.
Civil War, Revolutionary War.
Something.
People need to stand up, become strong men and women, and take their power back. The government will take it from you, and they'll never give it back.
Mao said, a woman's going to have a baby. And you can put 20 men around her with rifles pointed at her stomach. She's still one way or the other going to have that baby.
That's right.
It's all true.
That's right.
We're
in a fight, and I'm doing it for my children. I've got three young children, which most days I'd rather be home with them.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm honoring a call of duty because there's no other choice.
It's a good young man, you guys. We'll see you again in a couple weeks. Great. And if you need, call. Thank you, guys. It's good, good man. This afternoon... then Randy's doing the show at 3 o'clock, and Stefan will be with us tomorrow. And Stefan Tubbs back on the air tomorrow afternoon. Take care of yourselves, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, G. You did a good job. 90 to high today, 97 tomorrow. Hold on, everybody. Clouds when we're together. Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails. Till we meet.